Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Inside Movie fans. My name is Benson Fetcher. It is Monday, May 2nd, 2016. It is the first show that we'll be doing in this great month of May. April is over. Very exciting April baseball. It was a great month, and I'm excited for the rest of the season. People have been talking about teams have been getting off the hot starts, slow starts. Well, now it's time to actually dig deep, dive in, because the baseball season, it's in full swing. That's obvious. And even though we have a small slate of baseball tonight, there actually is some really interesting matchups, including the rematch of the 2015 ALDS between the Rangers and the Blue Jays. We'll get to that a little bit later on. The first one I want to get into is the Rockies-Padres matchup tonight. It's a little bit later if you're on the East Coast, so you might not be able to watch it. But one thing that I do want to mention, Nolan Arenado, he's been amazing right now. He's hit 4 home runs in his last 5 games. So that's amazing. And even more amazing than that, in his career versus James Shields, he is 12-23, has a .522 batting average, 4 home runs, and a 1,087 slugging percentage. So right now, James Shields, he's not doing that well. Let me rephrase that. He's doing well, but he has nothing to show for it. He has a 3.55 ERA, which is pretty decent. Most pitchers will not be at 0-4 at that rate. But the Padres' offense has been so bad, just absolutely no run support, that there's absolutely no chance James Shields can win for the Padres. I saw James Shields pitch a couple weeks ago, hit in San Diego when the Pirates played them. He looked decent, but again, there was just no run support from them. For the Rockies, going is rookie John Gray, and he's really the special prospect that the Rockies have been breeding, because really for the Rockies, they have to home grow their pitchers, because no pitcher is going to want to go out there to Coors Field and get the beating that the pitchers do with that massive outfield. And obviously with the thin air and how the ball carries so well. John Gray, he's only been given 15 runs. He has been given 15 runs of support, but still has yet to get a major league win. And that might have to do with the fact that he has an 11.42 ERA, which is relatively high for anybody. And breaking news right now, the Cubs, they just lost to the Braves. That's it. More on the James Shields, John Gray thing that's going on right now. James Shields, John Gray's gone 15 runs of support, no wins. James Shields, no runs of support, and he also has no wins. So very contrasting styles. It'll be interesting to see how they do, because Nolan Arenado has been amazing against Shields, and obviously if the Rockies have runners on base, Nolan Arenado will most likely drive the runners on base in. So if that's the case, it could be a rough night for James Shields. But the Padres' offense, they have been streaky. I believe when they in their wins, they've scored about 7 runs per game. So if they can get on a streak against John Gray, who hasn't been that good, there is a likely possibility that the Padres could possibly pull off the W tonight. Now, speaking of the records right now, the Rockies, they are 12-12, and the Padres are 9-16. Now, the Rockies, the story, you could say, of April has been Trevor Story. The rookie shortstop throwing in for Jose Reyes, whose domestic abuse suspension rumored to come down this week. So Trevor Story, he's obviously the shortstop of the future. Jose Reyes was just brought in because the Blue Jays couldn't fit him on their roster for cap space. They needed money to spend. So the Rockies offered to take it on, and the suspension comes down. It's probably the best thing that could happen for the Rockies, because suspension means he will not be paid. And some other things in Padres news, Melvin Upton Jr., he may bat fourth tonight. He has been batting fourth in the past. Alexi Ramirez, he's been batting fifth right beside him. The lineup, I believe Kemp bats third. Then you get Melvin Upton, and then you get Alexi Ramirez. Derek Norris has also been staying in the ball lately, hasn't been really finding any gaps, so his average might not show for it. But Derek Norris also might be able to get something going. Also, for the Padres, Adam Rosales, he has been showing some surprising power over the past month. I don't know exactly how many home runs he has, but when they did play the Pirates earlier in April, he hit one off the building in left field almost went over. It was just amazing, absolutely incredible power when he has it, but he is not known for it. So that could also happen in the game tonight. Again, one of the main things to look out for is Nolan Arenado could possibly, you know, change the game against James Shields tonight. And hopefully for Rockies fans, John Gray will get his first win and got to a good start, because obviously 11.42 ERA is not what you're looking for to start a season if you're a rookie ever. So that's the big news there. So that's all my gist on the Rockies and Padres game tonight. It will be at 10:10 p.m. at Petco Park. So that's something you might want to look out for. So I'm going to give you three things that you should know about this Padres game tonight before I let you go off of that. So right now the Padres, they've won 7 of 9 games against Colorado at Petco Park last season. In fact, the last time the Rockies won a series in San Diego was in July 2013. So that's something to watch out for. Even though Nolan Arenado has done so well against James Shields in the past, it's not a guarantee that they will win, because the Rockies have not played well at Petco Park, and James Shields hopefully is looking for some run support tonight. John Gray, he made one start against the Padres last season, and it remains arguably his best outing to date. He tossed 5 shutouts in San Diego on September 8th on just 2 hits while striking out 6. I'm pretty sure he's happy that he's going to San Diego because of the spacious ballpark. I know they've brought in the fences at Petco Park, but it's still a relatively pitcher's ballpark. So maybe John Gray can get something done with Nolan Arenado batting. It could be a good night for the Rockies. So I'm done with the Rockies, and I'm done with the Padres. Next thing, the biggest matchup of the night, I think. Well, there's actually 2 good matchups. Pirates-Cubs, rematch of the NL wildcard game. But the first one I want to get to is reliving Jose Bautista's bat flip from last year, where ALDS game 5 against the Rangers. The Rangers made some blunders in the field. The Blue Jays, they came back. Jose Bautista, he hit a home run that obviously was the biggest home run in Toronto Blue Jays history since the Carter home run that won in the World Series in the 80s. So besides that, the Bautista bat flip, that's really the key thing. That's what I'm going to be focusing on. And the main thing is, will there be retaliation for his bat flip from Game 5? That's the question. Now, if it was in Texas, I can see that there might be retaliation for this bat flip. I mean, some teams, Jeff Banister, might be upset that he bat flipped, but, like, you can't really get mad at a guy for doing well. You can get mad at a guy for being over-excessive when he's doing well, but Jose Bautista, after the game, said it was the most emotional game he's ever played, and he was just caught up in his emotions. So I believe that. I buy that. I mean, you hit that home run, you got to be excited, right? So I do not blame Jose Bautista for bat flipping, and the Rangers, A.J. Griffin starting for them, I definitely would not him tonight, but Jose Bautista better be high alert, because, I mean, the Rangers might come in. They come in, I mean, as a batter, you should be looking to see inside pitches. It's just a part of the game, and if he does get hit, I will not be surprised, but I'm not expecting it. But if he does get hit, the Blue Jays could retaliate right back, and you could have a Rangers-Blue Jays rivalry for the whole season. So hopefully it doesn't get out like that. Hopefully the 2016 Rangers and the 2016 Blue Jays will be different teams, and the Rangers will not retaliate. But in the media, obviously, they are looking for retaliation, and that's the question. Will there be retaliation? I say no, but Jose Bautista should be on high alert just in case. Now we're going to revisit that ALDS from last year, and just how good Bautista was. He had a .273 average in the series, which isn't that good, but he had 2 home runs and 5 RBIs. His home run, he gave the Blue Jays their first series win in 2 decades. I mean, the Blue Jays fans were going crazy, like the soccer atmosphere at the Rogers Center. I was watching the game live, and I mean, one of the best games I've ever seen on TV or anywhere for that matter, which is a great game. Donaldson also had a nice series. He batted .222, had 2 home runs and 4 RBIs. And then for the Rangers, Beltre batted .444, no home runs, but he did drive in a run. So we've been talking about the ALDS from that, but let's fast forward to this season and see how both of these teams are doing so far. The Rangers right now, they are first in the AL West. They're 10-5 at home, 4-6 on the road to give them a 14-11 overall record, which is not that bad. Again, that puts them first in the AL West. They are 1/2 game up at the Seattle Mariners right now and 1.5 games up of the Oakland Athletics. So it should be another tight AL West race. One of the more surprising things, I think, in the AL West is how the Astros, who made the playoffs last year and who got off to that quick start that helped them make the playoffs, they're 8-17 right now, 3-7 of their last 10 games, but they did win last night. They need to turn around fast because April has gone by. Baseball is in full swing. If the Astros do not turn around, I would not be surprised if they finish in last place because the AL West is one of the more competitive divisions in baseball. So that obviously is something to keep your eye on if you're a standings watcher like myself. See where the Astros are, and the AL West, just an exciting race to follow year-round. For the Blue Jays right now, they are not doing too hot. They are third in the AL East right now with a 12-14 record. They're 5-7 at home, 7-7 on the road to give them a 12-14 record. They're really not that far out of the division because ever since Orioles got off to that hot start, they really haven't done so well. Ever since they started off 7-0, they've been 7-10, which is about average what we expected out of them. And the Red Sox, they're playing well. They're 8-10 of the last 10. So the Blue Jays, they're right where they are. Not where fans wanted them to be, obviously, but they are still right there in the race. Now, pitching tonight in the matchup will be A.J. Griffin and R.A. Dickey. A.J. Griffin, he's having an amazing season right now. He's off to a great start. He's 3-0 with a 2.52 ERA. And most of the same team will actually be the same as the Rangers and Blue Jays resume the rivalry. Again, it grew intense during the American League Division Series last year when Toronto won 3 consecutive elimination games. I personally thought that the Rangers should have easily won that series, but the Blue Jays, against all odds, came back and they won the series. It was an epic series. I did not expect anything that happened in the series to actually happen, but yet it did. Going for the Blue Jays, and that will be R.A. Dickey. Again, he's not doing too well. He's 1-3 with a 6.75 ERA. That's not very good. He's looking to turn around at his home ballpark tonight. But, you know, sometimes a knuckleball or say he gets smacked around, a team can figure out a knuckleball. It really it's obviously hard to hit any major league pitch, but for these major leaguers, they can figure out R.A. Dickey, which so far to this year they have. It's not going to be that difficult to hit off of him, and that has been proven. The Rangers' offense has been very potent. I like the lineup up and down. Belcher batting third tonight, Fielder batting fourth, and then Desmond batting fifth. So they have a nice 3-for-5 to lead off the Airbus New Door. Standout right fielder, Nomar Mazara. He's been great so far. And I just personally like what the Rangers are doing and how when they traded for Cole Hamels, they just did amazing after that. But one sec, I want to switch gears to Nomar Mazara for a minute. And right now on the season, he's batting 324, he has 2 home runs and 8 RBIs. He's just been playing fantastic ever since the call-up. When I think of Rangers prospects, personally, I think of Joey Gallo. But Nomar Mazara has really shined through, and Joey Gallo is still trying to figure out in AAA. And time may be running out for Gallo because Nomar Mazara has really taken over as the prospect of the future and the player of the future for the Texas Rangers. I'm really intrigued into this game tonight. They'll be playing at 7 p.m. at the Rogers Center. It will not be nationally televised, but if you want to check some scores, I suggest checking that score as well with the Padres and the Rockies, which if you're living on the East Coast, you'll probably have to check out tomorrow morning. So that's all I'm going to talk about right now, Rangers and Blue Jays. One thing I do want to talk about real quick is the Phillies right now, they are off to a 15-10 start. And I want to talk about, can they, pull this off for the rest of the season? Now, when I think of the Phillies, I think of a rebuilding club, and they are a rebuilding team. But I guarantee you, most of you don't know that if the season were to end today, they would play in a tiebreaker with Pittsburgh Pirates to determine who would go on to play the New York Mets in a wild card game. So, I mean, that's a surprise. Everybody thought the Phillies would be in the Braves position. And a lot of people thought the Braves might be in the Phillies position. But they're flip-flopped. And I think the reason the Phillies are doing well, number one, I think that Ken Giles trade was perfect. Getting Vince Velasquez, he's been dynamite for them. He had a 16-strikeout first start. Wasn't too good in a second start, but then has bounced back since then. We're going to get into, can the Phillies keep this up for the rest of the season after a quick 30-second break? So when we come back, we're going to talk about that. And I'm actually going to give you 3 tidbits to know about the Blue Jays and Rangers game. We'll be back in 15 seconds on Inside MLB. Our background inside MLB, we've been previewing the Rockies and the Rangers game and how Nolan Arenado might affect that game because of his career numbers versus James Shields. We've been talking about the Blue Jays and the Rangers. And right now, I'm going to give you three things to know about this game tonight. So, Ari Dickey, he started Toronto's game for a win in the ALDS. He'll face a team that actually drafted him 20 years ago. He's 2-2 with a 3.77 ERA in 7 regular season outings against the Rangers. Dickey made his major league debut with Texas in 2001, long before he learned the knuckleball. So that'll be interesting to see how he fares against them. And obviously, that's a long time ago. He probably remembers that the Rangers drafted him, but he didn't even learn his knuckleball with the Rangers. Again, we talked a bit about Rangers rookie Nomar Mazara, and he has reached enough at-bats to qualify for league leader status, finally. And he entered the charts immediately, ranking 5th in batting average with a 333 WAR. And 10th in on-base percentage, get on base at a 392 rate entering yesterday. Blue Jays shortstop Troy Tulowitzki had a feast or famine first month. He's hitting just 172, but has 5 homers, 13 RBIs, and 14 walks to keep his OBP and slugging percentage in respectable territory. He snapped an 0-for-16 side with a 3-run homer in the ninth inning of Sunday's 5-1 win over the Rays. So now I'm officially done talking about the Rangers and the Blue Jays. And now it's time to turn our focuses to the Philadelphia Phillies and if they can keep up their hot start. They've been fantastic lately, and I guarantee you nobody would have thought that they would have been in third place right now in the National League East. Velasquez has been pitching amazing right now. The Phillies just came off a sweep of the Indians, and they will be going tonight against the Cardinals. Jeremy Hellickson for the Phillies and Adam Wainwright, who's been struggling mightily for the Cardinals. So I want to talk about Vincent Velasquez for a moment and how he really is continuing to live up to the hype that came with him being traded for Ken Giles. He was one of the main pieces, and he's proven why he was one of the main pieces in that big trade. When the Astros got Ken Giles, their goal was to have a game-changing closer. They were trying to follow the Royals' path. Get a closer, and shut down the ninth. And they already had Luke Gregerson, who was pitching well, Tony Sipp, who pitched well last year, so they thought they'd get a nice 7-8-9 combo. But Ken Giles has not been pitching well so far this year. Luke Gregerson is still the closer. And I think the Astros had to be kicking themselves right now because pitching is really what they need right now. And Vince Velasquez, he could be exactly what the Astros needed instead of having Ken Giles, who really hasn't helped him out of the bullpen that much. Vince Velasquez pitched 6 scoreless innings yesterday in a 2-1 victory over the Indians at Citizens Bank Park. Freddie Galvis single score run in the third, while Indians pitcher Danny Salazar balked in the Phillies' second run. And now this is really the second balk controversy, or not a controversy, but the second balk that I've heard of so far in the season. The first one I heard of was in San Diego. I forget who was pitching, but a balk square run and the umpires actually reversed the call from not a balk. Then Clint Hurdle came out to argue with the umpires and then actually reversed the call again. It was the craziest play I've ever seen in my time watching baseball. It was really just bizarre. I thought it was a balk. Since he was in his motion, then he sort of did it out of his motion. They tried catch McCutcheon stealing home. McCutcheon wasn't stealing home. He was just running down the baseline to sort of cause a balk. And he did cause a balk, and the Pirates, I think they wanted to lose that game, actually, but it was still a valid effort by Andrew McCutcheon. Anyway, for the Phillies, which is what we're trying to talk about, another big part of the team so far starting off has been Freddie Galvis, and yesterday he singled a score in the third. And again, the Phillies swept the series, which extended their winning streak to 6 games. It is the first time the Phillies have swept back-to-back series since September 7th to the 12th, 2012, when they swept the Rockies and the Marlins. That's pretty impressive. most people at this point would not expect the Phillies to be sweeping teams like this. They did sweep the Indians, and previous to that, they swept the Nationals, which was extremely impressive. I did not think the Nationals, who just swept the Cardinals, would have the Phillies sweep them this year at all. I mean, nobody expected that, but this is baseball, and anything can happen, and that's pretty much how the Phillies have been going about. And Phillies fans, I mean, they're trying to prove to everybody that this is our year. And now we're going to talk about the moments that mattered yesterday and the Phillies and Indians game. And again, Vincent Velasquez's deal. We're talking about how he's a key piece in the Ken Giles trade. This happened in December. He walked two consecutive batters to start the fourth inning before the Phillies ground repairs came to repair a wet mound. And rain swept its way through the East Coast yesterday. I know it hit Pittsburgh around 4 a.m. The hardest last night. But with rain sweeping the East Coast, obviously the Cubs game was postponed, I believe, on Saturday. And it hit Philadelphia, I guess, yesterday. So good news for the Phillies. Freddy Galvis is playing fantastic. So has Vincent Velasquez. And it's a perfect start for your Phillies fan. An absolutely perfect start. And their lineup, top to bottom, is actually doing a lot better than we thought. Right now they have Michael Franco. He's obviously the cornerstone of the team. And again, Phillies fans, you just got to be excited about this team, because I think 2 years from now, they could be right back where they were in 2008 and 2009 when they made back-to-back World Series. They could be right back there, because the Phillies have done this the right way. They've done this a lot better than the Reds have done things, because the Reds, they've sort of been in a slow motion, I believe. But the Phillies, they've committed to this, and they could be a team like the Cubs, who you saw committed to a rebuild, and now, I mean, people are possibly giving them the NL Central before it is even played out. So that is very impressive on the Phillies' part. And one guy that I want to talk about is Hector Neris, who yesterday he got the save. He filled in for the Phillies. So, I mean, if you want to look at the bullpen, he's only 26 years old. Hector Neris picks up his first major league save for the Phillies. So, again, the question I asked to myself before this topic started was, can the Phillies keep this up? Now, I know it's only May 2nd, but I'm going to say they cannot keep this up. And the only reason I'm saying that is because young teams eventually will falter, okay? They're not going to stay on this pace all year long. I think the Braves last year, they actually got off to a pretty good start until the All-Star break, and then they started trading away some people. I don't think the Phillies will trade away any people because their lineup is pretty much set for the future. But what the Phillies might do is, you know, get into a slump. And that slump may be longer than most teams slump, because young baseball players, they have a little bit of a hard time getting out of hitting slumps, getting out of the team slump. So great start for the Phillies. You got to be optimistic. And if I'm a Phillies fan, absolutely perfect way to start the 2016 season. And hopefully, I mean, I want them to do well. I want to see a surprise team make the playoffs. But as of right now, they're in the playoffs. So that's all good on the Phillies' part. Now, we're going to be moving to something a little bit about strikeout rates right now. And if you are sort of a sabermetric kind of person, you probably know about the three true outcomes. The walk, the strikeout, and the ballpark. But so those three true outcomes, they haven't really been happening that much. Strikeout rates are way up, and the pitchers just seem to keep doing better, as shown by Clayton Kershaw, who had a fantastic start last night. He struck out 14 over a complete game shutout, and he was the fourth pitcher, actually, since 1984 to pitch a complete game shutout and drive in the game-winning RBI. That's great to see that, and that is just Clayton Kershaw-esque, you could say. And, I mean, I was listening to a show this morning. It was in Clayton Kershaw better slow it down, because once he gets back to average, people may be thinking, where's the real Clayton Kershaw? That's what we were thinking. That's what we were thinking last year when he didn't have really the Clayton Kershaw type of numbers, but he was still the dominant Clayton Kershaw who struck out 300 people last year. And the strikeout rates are up, and that's a lot to do with the aces in today's game and how People are thinking that strikeouts don't matter. It's just another out. But I'm highly against that because what hitting coaches try to preach to players, and I can speak for myself, is put the ball in play. You never know what can happen when you put the ball in play. Coaches always say, run it out to first, sprint, right? Because you never know what can happen on throw. It could be an error. You just have to look at it that way because a strikeout is not just another out. First off, it gives the pitchers more confidence, and the pitchers already have enough confidence because they're 60 feet 6 inches away, and they are just pitching fantastic nowadays. That's why the K rates are up, and the ball needs to be put in play more. And that's why I think teams need to build around, because the strikeout home run teams, they're not doing as well as most people would think they're doing. Teams like the Pirates, who lost Neil Walker and Pedro Alvarez, who provided around 50 home runs for them last year, they're actually on pace right now to have the most base runners in a season of all time. And guess what? They're minus 50 home runs. They haven't hit much home runs so far this year. It just shows that if you can put the ball in play and you can get on base, that's what baseball is really all about. Not striking out, not hitting home runs, because they're great. Those home runs are great. But the strikeouts that aren't put in play, the strikeouts that have no chance of you possibly getting on base unless it's a drop third strike, they're not helping your team out at all. That's what GMs, that's what hitting coaches, they need to start preaching to their players. Put the ball in play because you never know what can happen. Now, a cool story that happened, I believe, Friday. A little kid named Maverick, he is undergoing some surgeries right now. And David Ortiz, he promised to the little kid Maverick that he hit him a home run. In the ninth inning, David Ortiz comes up. He takes a breaking ball, hits it over the monster. And, I mean, it really brought tears to baseball fans' eyes all over the country. And, I mean, it was so amazing that even Yankee fans can't hate it. I mean, even the most diehard Yankee fans who, I mean, hate everything the Red Sox do, they cannot hate that because – I mean, it was such a great story. David Ortiz and Kevin Millar posted a video. David Ortiz promised Maverick that he hit a home run for him. Maverick posted a video right after saying, thank you, and I hope to see you. And Maverick will actually be seeing David Ortiz in the future. And, I mean, it's just a heartwarming story for any baseball fan. And right now, the Red Sox, they're doing well. They are doing well against the Yankees, as they have been doing in the past. And in the Yankees series, they swept it. They won on Friday 4-2, Saturday nothing, and last night in Sunday Night Baseball 8-7. And David Ortiz and the whole Maverick story is, again, very heartwarming. And if you do not know who Maverick is, you should probably look him up because I believe if the Maverick and David Ortiz be the first picture that comes up, check it out. It truly touching story. And I loved hearing about it on baseball analyst shows this morning when I woke up. And just amazing story. We're going to take a quick break on Inside MLB. When we come back, we're going to be previewing the Nationals versus Royals series. Gio Gonzalez will be scoring off against Edison Volquez in a game that could possibly be a pitcher's duel. That'll be after this 30-second break. We'll see you in 30 seconds on Inside MLB. Back on Inside MLB, and we've been talking briefly in the earlier the show. We've been talking about Nolan Arenado's career success against James Shields, my bad. We've been talking about Jose Bautista and will there be retaliation for his Game 5 bad flip. Also talking about are the Phillies a mirage or are they for real? And how balls need to be put in play, and also the heart-touching Maverick story coming out of the Red Sox. A game I want to preview right real quickly is the Nationals versus Royals, and it's one of the games going on tonight. Gio Gonzalez will be squaring off against Edison Volquez, and the Nationals are coming off a sweep of the Cardinals, which I did not expect going. I thought it would be a good series going into the weekend, But the Cardinals right now, they are not doing too well, to say the least. Right now, they are 12-13. They're 4-6 in the last 10. And they have lost 4 straight games. Not very good out of that side. And if you do not know, the Cardinals were the best team in baseball out of all the teams in baseball last year. And obviously, they are not off to a hot start. So the Nationals, they took advantage of it. They went in and they swept them. Over the game tonight, we get a great pitching match. Gio Gonzalez, he's 1-1 right now with a 1.42 ERA, squaring off against Edison Volquez, who's 3-1 with a 3.334 ERA. So after winning a series in St. Louis for the first time since 2007, the Nationals will begin a three-game series against the defending World Series champions tonight. And I thought that was interesting because the Nationals, they have not won a series in St. Louis in 9 years. That's a lot of time. And for them to go in there and not only win it, but sweep it, that's even more impressive. So, I mean, all impressed all around from the Nationals so far. And how everybody's talking about Dusty Baker, he's never going to do well. He's too old school. Well, what is he doing? He is taking them to new heights. The Nationals right now are 17-7. They are playing fantastic baseball. And while the Mets, they're winning eight of their last nine. And the Nationals are not fazed by it. They just keep winning. That's what Dusty Baker's preaching. Don't focus on the other teams. Focus on your own team because, obviously, the Nationals are proving that they can do excellent. So three things to know for tonight's game is that Bryce Harper, most of you know he's off to a fantastic start. But what you might not know is he has cooled off a bit since his start to the season. He is a mere 2-for-15 during his current slump, but he does have 7 walks in that time period. 2-for-15, if you do not know, it's not very good. He had an amazing start to the season. He's still up there with the home run leaders, but the fact that he has 7 walks is showing that he has great plate discipline, and pitchers still do not want to pitch him, even though he's in a slump, because you never know. One pitch, one swing, he could break out of that slump, and the pitchers do not want to be the ones to pitch him that might damage other pitchers who are going to be pitching in the future, because you never know when he could break out of his slump. So that's that for Bryce Harper. So while the Royals, they've become known for their stellar defense in past years, the Nationals have also been doing well in the field. Entering tonight's game, both teams have committed 8 errors, tied for the fewest in the majors. Pretty impressive that two of the best fielding teams that we're going to be seeing tonight in a pitcher's duel. So if you're looking for a high-scoring game, this might not be a very high-scoring game for you guys because you have two great pitchers going for you in a non-home run park, really, in Kauffman Stadium. And the Royals, they snapped a 27-inning score streak when they scored in the second inning of their game against the Mariners yesterday, and they held on for the victory to snap their first 5-game losing streak since 2014. So the Royals offense not doing well. They 27-inning score streak, and you get a guy like Gio Gonzalez going out there tonight as Volquez is trying to shut him down. And with the defenses doing as well as they are, and the Royals bullpen and Jonathan Papelbon pitching as well as he has, I could honestly see this game going to extra innings tonight, and it hopefully for baseball fans all around, it'll be a good game. So what I want to ask right now is, what do you think would be a better storyline? The Royals making a third straight World Series, or the Nationals finally making one? I'm going to make my argument now. I'll sort of play both sides, and then I'll tell you which one I think is better. So for the Nationals finally making a World Series, they have not made one in their 50-year history. They've moved country to country. They were in Canada with the Montreal Expos. They finally came back. They've been there since 2005, and they haven't even won a playoff series. They've been there. Brandon Belt, if you remember, I think it was his game, had a shot over the right field fence to win the game for them. But they have not done well in the playoffs, and Steven Strasburg being shut down, I believe, when they were playing the Giants, he's not really helped out their cause much. But teams, I mean, do you know how hard it is to make 3 straight World Series, to win your pennant 3 straight times, even if they don't win back-to-back World Championships? It would be really impressive for the Royals to even do that. So, 50 years for the Nationals, or a historical run for the Royals. Now, people talk about how the Cubs, if they would win the World Series, would be monumental. If the Nationals would make one, I think it would be monumental. But the Orioles also making a third straight one, that would be pretty cool too. But what I'm going to have to go with here is the Nationals finally making one, because it's been a long time. Those D.C. fans, well, they're great baseball fans, and I think they deserve to finally make a World Series. And I think the only chance of Steven Strasburg staying in D.C. is if the Nationals do make it to a World Series. I still don't think he won't, because it's going to be tough with that Scott Boras client to bring him back. But I think it will actually work out best for the Nationals if Steven Strasburg and them would go on to make a World Series, because if you remember, he was shut down after Tommy John surgery. The owner shut him down for arm concerns, and they haven't done well in the playoffs ever since. I think if they did well in the playoffs with Steven Strasburg, it's going to help boost his market value. And Scott Boras could just use that on the negotiating table, because he already has so much up on everybody that it would just be almost unfair, because the Nationals, Scott Boras, and if the Nationals do well in the playoffs and they make it to the World Series, I think it could be deadly for them. So right now, let's just talk about the Nationals and the Orioles and a little bit of their run scoring production. Right now, let's talk about the Nationals. They are first in the AL East, 17-7. We'll take a look at the standings real quick. They are 1.5 games back, 1.5 games up on the Mets, and the Mets have been playing fantastically, 8 in their last 10. They lost yesterday, that whole to an 8-game winning streak, so they are staving off them. And the Phillies, they're playing well too. They're 9-1 in their last 10, winners of 6 straight. And the Marlins, they're not playing bad either. 7-3 in the last 10, 5 games back. So it's going to be a competitive division all the way to the end. The Braves, they'll be down there as expected. The Phillies should have been down there as expected too, but they're not. And they're up at third for the foreseeable future. So for the Nationals right now, they scored 99 runs, which is 17th in Major League Baseball. A little bit below average, but their pitching has been so great. They have a staff ERA and a bullpen ERA of 2.30. That's first in Major League Baseball. That's how they're doing so well right now. It's their pitching. And pitching wins championships, along with solid defense. And the Royals have proven that. And the Nationals, they have copied that formula, and that formula has them win 70% of their games to start the season. I mean, what more can you ask for? They are not the best team in baseball. Surprisingly, the Cubs are at 17-6. And the White Sox, which is surprising, they are right behind them at 18-8. I think the White Sox actually might be the biggest surprise of the season. I did not expect them to be as well, doing as well as they're doing. And I do not know the exact numbers for Todd Frazier, but he obviously probably has a big part to do with that. Chris Sale is doing well to start the season. So is Matt Latos. Matt Latos pick might actually prove to be nice for them. People talk about if they don't do well, they could flop him at the deadline for some prospects. But he's doing well, so they might ride into the end. And the White Sox, let's see, the lead in their division. Up on the Royals, they're 4 games up and 3 games up on the Tigers. The Royals right now, they are not a very good offensive team. They've only scored 81 runs. That's tied for 27th in Major League Baseball. And their ERA is not fantastic, but still well above average. It's at 3.40 clip. So that's that for the Nationals and Royals. We're going to move to our next game, which is a rematch of the Pirates and the Cubs. Going for the Pirates tonight, Lee Gerrit Cole, who, if you remember, the last time he pitched against the Cubs was in the National League wildcard game when Jake Arrieta was absolutely dealing. Going for the Cubs tonight might be Jake Arrieta type guy, Jason Hamill. He's 3-0 with a .0 ERA. That's pretty impressive. And one thing that I do want to point out in the Cubs lineup tonight, you know, Joe Maddon, he usually bats his pitcher 8th, but he's batting Jason Hamill 9th. I do not know why, but that's just why someone I quickly skimmed through the lineup tonight. So again, this is a rematch of the National Wildcard game, and I'm going to pose a question. How important is this series to the Pirates' psyche? Clint Hurdle, he's really known as one of the more motivational speakers. He gets the most out of his guys. He got it with the Rockets when they made the World Series, and even though they got swept to the Red Sox, he still made the World Series for the first time in their franchise history, only World Series they've ever made. And I want to see the Pirates come out with that emotional edge. They have a chip on their shoulder. Because right now, analysts, everybody, not me though, they're giving, absolutely giving the National League Central to the Cubs. They haven't even played a full 2 months, and already the Cubs are saying they're going to win the division. But if you do take a look at the standings, they're only 3 games up for the Pirates. Only 3 games up. And the Pirates, I mean, they're sort of done with that whole wild card thing right now. I mean, they wanted to win the division. So this is, I think, an important series for the Pirates' psyche. It's not do or die, but if you remember, Sean Rodriguez, he was the only person ejected in that game when J.K. was plunked by Tony Watson. This is an important game to the Pirates' psyche. I want to see them come out with an emotional edge. And Sean Rodriguez, see if he's in the lineup. No, he is not, but he'll probably come as a pinch hitter, maybe come as a defensive replacement for John Jaso. I mean, he obviously wants to get at bat against the Cubs because this last time he faced them, he was smashing a water cooler in the dugout, 3 straight punches, boom, boom, boom. So that's that on the whole Sean Rodriguez fiasco. But again, a great pitching matchup again tonight. There's a lot of great pitching matchups. You have the Nationals and the Padres. Not Nationals and the Orioles. What am I thinking? The interleague matchup, that's going to be nice. And we have another one, Pirates-Cubs. So a lot of good matchups tonight. I suggest you pay attention if you're a baseball fan like myself. And one of the more exciting ones, obviously, will be reliving the Jose Bautista bat-flip, which will be talked about a lot. In the Rangers-Blue Jays game, so check out those scores. I'm going to give you right now 3 things to know about this game tonight. So, Jason Hamels, he is 3-0 with a .75 ERA in the year. But in his career at PNC Park, he is 2-3 with a 5.14 ERA in 6 appearances. And to make matters worse for the Cubs, Andrew McCutchen is a career 300 hitter against him with a .323 on base percentage. But if you're a Cubs fan, I'm always going to give you something to look at. Dexter Fowler is a .323 career hitter with 1 home run, 17 at-bats against Gerrit Cole. So, if I'm going to make a prediction for tonight, what I'm looking at is, even though Jason Hamels pitched fantastic, his career record at PNC Park, and the Pirates are going to come out with, you know, a chip on their shoulder, because, I mean, people are giving the Cubs the Central, even though the Pirates are 15-10, only 3 games back of the Cubs. And if the Cubs, I mean, the Pirates go on to sweep the Cubs, they can be tied for the division. And this is not the Cubs division. That's just the one thing that I want to point out. But how poorly Hamels is doing lately, even though McCutchen, he's sort of gaining his groove back, but he's been struggling a little bit as of late. He started in the Red Series, although he did get a single yesterday to tie the game in that strange game where the Pirates had 4 errors yesterday. One was on Jeff Locke, Gregory Polanco, Chris Stewart, and Sean Rodriguez. Strange game yesterday, but the Pirates were looking to rebound against the Cubs. And I'm going to make a prediction. I think the Pirates, they will win 7-2. That's my prediction for tonight. And when the Pirates do see Arrieta, I believe that's on Wednesday. Could be interesting. Right now, the Pirates is number one prospect. He is pitching fantastic. He is 2-0 with 18 strikeouts in the last week. And I am predicting he will have a cult very soon. Tyler Glasnow, he's fantastic. I actually just picked him up on my fantasy team because I'm predicting a cult as soon as possible. So if you're the Pirates, everything's looking good right now, especially the fact that plus 18 run differential. They scored 133 runs, only allowed 115. And, I mean, it's not the best season possible, but it's their best start since 1992, the last time they won the division. And right now, hopefully, we see a good series and a lot of good pitching matchups tonight. And we're going to have to take a quick break on Inside MLB. We want to come back. I'm going to talk briefly about the first planned road trip for the Cubs, Joe Maddon, and how he picked this minimalist zany suit road trip. We're going to talk about that briefly. They'll move into Clayton Kershaw and his fantastic start last night. And that will wrap up the show for the evening. But we still have a little bit to go, so I'll see you in 30 seconds on Inside MLB. We're back in Inside MLB. We've been talking about the start of baseball games tonight, most recently talking about the Pirates and the Cubs and the rematch of the National League Wild Card game. But the last opt-in for the Pirates and the Cubs is Joe Maddon's ridiculous road trip. And people are saying this is the best one he's ever planned. In this minimalist, zany suit, pretty much they picked the wildest suits they could have picked possible, and they wore them on the road trip out of the plane. And, I mean, for the young players that they have in the Cubs, they probably love it. They probably do love it. And I like Joe Maddon's idea. He's done it ever since he's been a manager. He's obviously gotten the best out of his players, and the Cubs are doing well right now, so keep it going. And if they do well on this road trip, they will probably keep the themed road trips going. And I personally think it's the best one he's ever done so far. And I was wondering, where do they get all these suits? Because there's some crazy suits. You should look at the pictures. Probably kind of like minimalist zany suit road trip for the Cubs. Look that up. You'll probably see the crazy suits. One of the more crazy ones are John Lester. He was wearing sort of a camouflage suit, and he had a cowboy hat on. So that was the one that really stood out to me. But anyway, we have some baseball to get into. And now Clayton Kershaw, he was looking pretty good last night. Struck out 14, and he has, in his career now, he has 13 career strikeouts, which is tied for the league lead in active players with Bartolo Colon. And get this, Bartolo Colon has double the starts he has, so Clayton Kershaw will obviously break that record before Bartolo Colon retires. This season right now, he has a 182 opponent average against, struck out 54, and he has a 1.96 ERA in 46 innings pitched. He's pitching fantastic. 54 strikeouts and 46 innings pitched with an opponent's average of 182, that's giving up absolutely nothing. And as I said earlier in the show, if Clayton Kershaw reverts back to, you know, a decent, a good pitcher, but not like Hall of Fame every game pitcher, I mean, people are going to say, where's Clayton Kershaw? But he is absolutely dominant, and he drive from the only RBI last night. So he single-handedly broke the Dodgers out of their six-game slump. He single-handedly did it, which is really surprising because most pitchers, they obviously don't drive in runs. One of the better pitchers, hitting pitchers so far to the season has been Francisco Lirón of the Pirates. I think he's batting 500 so far, which is good news for them. But we have to talk about Clayton Kershaw and just how amazing he's been. He needs to shoo to go into the Hall of Fame. If he retires now, he'll easily get into the Hall of Fame. But what will matter, though, is how he does in the playoffs. That's the one thing that you can say against Clayton Kershaw. He doesn't do well in the playoffs. He hasn't done well in the playoffs. And until he gets over that hump, I don't think people will look at him as the same guy. If he doesn't get over that hump like Steven Strasburg, I mean, he'll be looked at as a all-around great pitcher, like somebody like Madison Bumgarner, who's fantastic in the playoffs, fantastic in the regular season. And Clayton Kershaw is looking to elevate to that next level. And that next level is to win a World Series for Los Angeles for the first time since 1988. Even though their payroll is so high, even though they spend so much money, I still can't believe how they do not have a World Series ring. And I think Roberts, the new manager, has really gotten to a good place with the Osceola League, and we're talking about that. But the Dodgers need to break out of the slump because the Giants are playing extremely well as of late, and they do have the lead. Oh, it's actually tied, a three-way tie between the Rockies, the Dodgers, and the Giants. They're all 500. So the Giants are six. They didn't have a really good series against the Mets. They lost that series. Obviously, we're going to get to in a second about Yoenis Cespedes capping off the 12-run inning with a grand slam. That 12-run inning was the most in franchise history. So that's that for Clayton Kershaw, just how amazing, absolutely amazing he has been. Next thing I want to get to is another question. And that question is, should Joey Votto demand a trade? Right now, he's batting .230, has 2 home runs and 12 RBIs. And today, he said he'd rather quit and leave all of the money on the table than repeat this April performance. Now, we know that's not going to happen. He's not going to leave $199 million on the table. It will never happen. But this .230 average, 2 home runs, 12 RBIs, it's really not that bad if you think about it. Joey Votto standards, it is that bad, though. 12 RBIs, he's still on pace to get, you know, like 90. Then Errol will eventually run up in Cincinnati. He'll get his home runs. And Joey Votto, I think, will get his 90 to 100 RBIs. I mean, it's just what I think is going to happen. His slugging is obviously not good. It's at 310, OEP at 330, 640 OPS. So, I think, though, should Joey Votto demand a trade? I think he should, because really the only guy in the lineup with him right now is Brandon Phillips. And Brandon Phillips, he's sort of been free swinging on the breaking ball as well. It's sort of a new thing for him. He hasn't really been swinging at this breaking ball as well, but he just cannot lay it off to start the season. And he really has nobody else in that lineup with him. Eugenio Suarez is a good piece. Devin Mesrock is good, but he's hurt and he's banged up. They have Tucker Barnhart and Jordan Pacheco as their catchers. There's just nobody in that lineup to complement him, to get pitchers to pitch to him. And that must be tough for Joey Votto because that probably has to do with the 230 average. And he's one of the best hitters. People talk about always how he chokes up, how he's not great. Likes to slap the ball around the park. And Joey Votto is an expert at that. He usually burns teams with that. He did burn the Pirates yesterday. He had an RBI, one of his 12. But it's just not Joey Votto-esque performances. Not what we're accustomed to seeing out of him. And if you're a Reds fan, you obviously know you're in a rebuild, but your team wasn't doing that bad up until late. Now you're 10-15. You're 2-8 your last 10, even though you won yesterday. And it was your first win all week. So Reds fans might be sort of doubting what the franchise is trying to do because I think they are a long way from making a run in the playoffs again. One bright spot that I don't mention is 28-year-old Tim Adelman. Had a fantastic start. Let me pull up his numbers. Real quickly. Yesterday, in Tim Allen's major league debut, he went 6 innings, 3 hits, 2 on runs, walked 2, and struck out 6. It was a fantastic performance. His really only danger he got into during the game wasn't even dangerous. He ran with a home run to Gregory Polanco, which landed in the river, actually, the 30th to do so in the history of PNC Park. So, obviously, an impressive home run from Gregory Polanco, but besides that, he was pulled in on the 7th when the Pirates got a rally going, starting with the single from Matt Joyce. So, that's when Tim Adelman left the game. I think that's definitely a bright spot for the Reds, and they should try to bank on that, but they do have a lot of their pitchers coming back, so that's good news. Homer Bailey, he is actually being told that only one more rehab assignment left until he will be good to come back to the major league team. Marcelo Iglesias just bought the 15-day deal, but when he comes back, Adelman might be gone. And also, Alfredo Simon hasn't been pitching well of late. Led up a leadoff home run to John Jace, who also hit another home run yesterday with 2 outs in the 9th. So the Reds pitching, that's really, I think, their downfall. And if they do not get that figured out fast, it will be another down year for them. But Tim Adelman, a very nice bright spot for the Reds. And I think he earned himself another start and he'll be pitching most likely for the Reds in 5 days. So we have two more things I want to get to. I want to get to Yoenis Cespedes real quick and Jordan Zimmermann and how well they have been doing as of late for their respective teams. So first off, Yoenis Cespedes, he capped off a 12-run inning with a grand slam the other day. That is some impressive stuff. A 12 inning, most in franchise history. I was absolutely in shock when I heard that. Absolutely in shock. And Yoenis Cespedes, he's sort of leaving off where he was to end of the regular season last year. Not the playoffs. He didn't do two on the playoffs, but he's batting 292 right now, 7 home runs, 23 RBIs. His OPS is in the 1,000 range, so that's good for him. His last 7 games, so they've been really impressive. 4 home runs, 14 RBIs, and let's check out that batting average of 302. His last 15 games, even more impressive. 7 home runs, 23 RBIs, and 339 average. So that's where he's done his most damage. He's actually had all his home runs and all his RBIs in that time span. So that's, just impressive out of them because they've played 23 games, and he really didn't have anything going for the first 8 games. We were thinking, did the Mets make a mistake re-signing him? And obviously, right now, it's looking like they did not make a mistake, And the Mets will go against tonight up against the Braves. And I think Folty Nevich, he might be making his major league, you know, his season debut. Folty Nevich, he is an up-and-coming prospect in the Braves organization. He can have a good start tonight. He'll be going up against Bartolo Colon and Flushing, New York at Citi Field. Colon right now is 1-1 with a 3.42 ERA. So we'll see how they do tonight. And here are three things you should know about the Mets and the Braves squaring off tonight. So right now, the Mets, they completed a three-game sweep at Turner Field from April 22nd to the 24th, and they have now won 8 of their past 10 games against the Braves. Mets fans, they likely haven't been happy to see Freddie Freeman start to escape his early season struggles. Freeman has produced a 976 OPS over his past 22 games at Citi Field. The Braves' first baseman is 9-for-20 with 3 doubles against Colon. The Braves are expected to promote position player from Gwinnett to the roster spot that remained open when Emilio Bonifacio was deemed ineligible for activation on Sunday. Catcher Ryan LaVarnway is among the candidates who might get the call. Braves are not doing well. Hopefully, Folty Nevich will do well for them because they need a bright spot for their team. They really, really do. So the last thing before I leave you guys today, I want to get to talking about Jordan Zimmermann because Zimmermann, he has been absolutely fantastic. And for his fantastic job, he earned AL Pitcher of the Month. And he's 5-0, which is fantastic. If you remember, he was really the first ace to get off the market, and a 5-year, $110 million deal over the Thanksgiving weekend. And he's only 29 years old, and he's fantastic. He is the sixth pitcher to finish this April with 5 or more wins, 0 losses, and a sub-1 ERA. He finishes Fernando Valenzuela, Randy Johnson, Cliff Lee, Zach Greinke, and Ubaldo Jimenez. And what he said is he's pitching the best he's ever pitched in his career. And I believe him because, I mean, he's thrown up Zach Greinke numbers from last year, Clayton Kershaw numbers so far this year. He is just, given what the Tigers paid him $110 million for, I mean, he is worth every nickel that the Tigers gave him. It is an absolute, I don't want to say steal, but most people are thinking, why did the Tigers sign him? Well, they're showing that their sort of retool thing was a good job. They got Francisco Rodriguez, who has been nice out of the bullpen for them. And they trust nothing, who is another good signing. And they turn around quickly from last, and they are going to go from worst to first this year, which has and happened a lot. I think the last one was with the Red Sox. You know, the Red Sox are actually trying to do it again, and they are on pace to do that as of right now. So that's that on Jordan Zimmermann. Let me see if the Tigers, they don't play tonight. They return to action tomorrow. Justin Verlander is trying to turn things around. He has a 5.46 ERA, and he's going up against Josh Tomlin in Cleveland, who's 3-0 with a 3.18 ERA. So hopefully Verlander can turn around for the Tigers, and he'll be all happy for that. All right, that's just about doing it for our show tonight. Some games I didn't really touch on were the Giants and the Reds. Make sure to check that out. That's at 7:10. Angels, Brewers, Twins, Astros, Mariners, Athletics, and that sort of wraps up the slate for tonight. I'll see you Wednesday right here, 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. Thank you for tuning in. My name is Benson Tucker. Please check out the website at MLBinside.com, and we'll see you on Wednesday. Have a wonderful evening. Good night.